Man, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Hey man, we do thank the Hamiltons for a beautiful singing and giving praise to the Most High. Beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. Amen. Bible say, let everything that had breath. Lift up a joyful song.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And a praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We just thank God for all that has transpired in the past so often here in this sacred facility.
Yes, Lord.
And we are blessed to see how the Lord will continue to guide us.
Yes.
And thus far, He is on the move.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So we just thank Him for all that we have seen and heard. I want to just give a quick announcement. I wanted to insert it in between there. But I want some of the women, Sister Janice Brown, you can stand or raise your hand over there. My sister, most of them know you, is going to be helping us with some conducting some of the women's ministry. And we have asked her to do it because she's had some experience working with it in some other ministries in the past. And certainly we know that women have special issues that have to be dealt with by women.
Amen.
So if you want to talk with her about that, it won't be starting immediately, but she will let you know the dates that she sets up. And if you want to talk with her about it in the meantime and see what you can do to help her pull it together, then we want to invite you to do that.
Amen.
And we thank God for her and all the Brown family who have come to join us. Amen. Having said that, we'll be talking about other ministry efforts that we want to launch also as we go along. And that, of course, Sister Samantha read that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we'd like you to, as you know, if you've been studying with us, we've been kind of working our way through the book of Romans. And we started off at St. Timothy with the portion of it that began in chapter 8. And so we're about to come to the end of chapter 9, as the Spirit leads. And as I said, we're in no rush. We just want to maintain that we are sojourning, as we like to say, through God's Word. And this is obedient to what the Lord has said. He said to occupy until I come. He left and said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he said this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, the Greek literally says. We say always, which is the same thing. But I like saying all the days. That means every day I get up.
All right.
The Lord says, I'm with you.
Come on.
And he's fixed the world so you can't have but one day at a time. You know what I found out? One day is enough.
Amen. Amen.
We couldn't deal with, suppose you could have two. It would be rough, wouldn't it? Because it's kind of rough dealing with the one.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody wrote that song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus.
Wow.
Amen. And that's all we can handle, really, is one day at a time. But I just thank God that as whoever wrote that song, he said, all my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Amen. So we're going to try to wait. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry about it. Y'all don't have to worry. I'm not going to crank up here. No, we ain't going to do that one this morning. Hold that one back. But it is a good one, I have to say. But in the meantime, as we said, we're going to take up time today and look in Romans chapter 9. And we got a few verses here toward the end of this. We had a good Bible study on Wednesday, and we talked about kind of a summary of what it went on in that ninth chapter. We didn't get it all, but we got some good information, and we're going to kind of cap that up hopefully here today, and then we'll continue with that on this Wednesday if the Lord tarries. Amen. So we want to find ourselves working our way through all of what God said. That's the whole idea of what I was saying to you previously. I think that mic may be ringing out a little there. Just switch it off. There's a switch there. Amen. Kind of a little strange there. So basically, if we occupy studying the Word, I want to, and my philosophy as a minister is, if I don't take you through whole books and whole passages, how can I know I'm doing what Jesus said? You know, I need to know I'm teaching you to observe all things whatsoever He commanded you. See, so I have to have a method. That's where the Methodist Church actually derived their name from. That we have a method of how we're going to get you through the whole Word of God over a certain period of time. So we're working our way methodically through the Word of God. That's the reason why we like to do that. Because I don't want to be hit and miss. If I'm hit and miss, how do I know when I got the whole thing taught to you? I don't know that. So I got to be systematic how we deliver the word. Now, there are times when things come up and the issues arrive that trump that course. And if so, we deviate. We'll move as the Spirit says move. But other than that, we're going to move through so that I can know that you're being fed the entire diet that the Lord has set. He set the diet. I'm just delivering it. I'm the delivery boy. He's back there cooking. I'm bringing the meals. I'll set them on your table. Amen. Amen. So that's it. So don't shoot the messenger if something's pretty tough here. Amen. But having said that, we're going to look at, I want somebody to read for us today from Isaiah, just a couple of verses from the Old Testament, and this will be Isaiah 28:15 through 16. And then we'd like a nice loud reader to read. We say loud because some of us don't hear so well, and some of us do, and we just want to be able to be heard, and so that the word will go forth. Mm-hmm. Read it like it's authoritative, because it is, and we want to hear it. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, right?
Yeah.
And hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, we want to listen carefully, and we want to hear it so that it can get into our spirit and do the work that it has to do. The word of God is what will not come back to me void, the Lord said. When it goes out, it's going to accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. Mm-hmm. God has a purpose for every word that he has spoken. You know that? It's going to affect each one of us in the way we need it when we hear it. And God has promised that. He's promised it will not return to me until it accomplishes the purpose for which I sent it. So it's a powerful word. You ever think of a word like that? Every time you hear it, it's doing something to you. It's making an adjustment to me. It's adjusting everybody, wherever they are, on the level where they are, to what God wants them to do. Amen. So you cannot hear it without it having an effect on you, and it will be a positive effect. Amen. So we're going to come back to Romans. This is, of course, the conclusion of the Apostle Paul concludes with prophecy. Now, the thing we noted about this, and I'm going to give this last little bit of a pre-statement about this ninth chapter, is that Paul has brought up scripture every time because he knows he's preaching not only to Gentiles, but Jews who know the word. And he's saying, think about what Moses said. Think about what Jeremiah said. Think about what Hosea said. Think about what Isaiah said. And he's going in there because Jesus said that the gospel is built up on the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
So he's going back getting the law that Moses wrote, which consists of those first five books of the Bible. And he's going back to bring witnesses to the stand, such as Jeremiah, such as Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing up words that Isaiah has spoken because why? The Jews know these are the prophets of God.
Yeah.
And we need to listen to them. You see, same thing with you and I today. These are God's prophets, his holy prophets that he called, and his word is authoritative. So that's the reason why he does it. So looking at Isaiah 28, who will read 28 verses 15 and 16 for us? Do we have a nice loud reader, Brother Jamerson? Okay, and then we need to designate a reader for chapter 9 verses 27 to 33. I guess we'll let Brother Brown read that. He's standing already. But let us hear carefully the word of the Lord, Isaiah 28, 15. Let us stand.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 28:15. Because you have said we have made a covenant with them, and we had an agreement. But the overflowing scourge shall pass through; it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies out of refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord: Behold, I lie in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the right word of the Lord, the old covenant, Isaiah 28. May God bless the reading of his blessed word. Now in the New Testament, from Brother Darrell Brown.
Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. But because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of the faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth upon him shall not be ashamed.
Amen. That's the word of the Lord from the book of Romans chapter 9, the concluding verses. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We'd like to use for a topic for this message, Jesus, rock or stumbling block. Amen. Let us pray.
Yes.
Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your holy word, Father. Mm-hmm. We thank you, God, for the church in general, Father, a place where we can come and just relax and hear the word spoken over us, oh God, where your spirit can move among us, oh God, and where we can give you praise and we can exalt your name. We can give you thanks for all you're doing in our lives, where we can be a beacon of light, oh God, in the midst of a troubled time, oh God, where we can just come here on holy ground and realize that you're going to feed our spirits. You're going to make us men and women who are filled with faith, oh God, so that when we go out and face the world, that we can be charged up with faith in what you have said in your word. That even when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you can raise up a standard by your word, oh God, and give us all grace necessary to take a stand for that which is right. Father, we just praise you, we bless you, we thank you for this holy place, oh God, that you sanctify for the hearing and understanding of your word.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, God, that you called us to be disciples of your word.
Yes.
And so, Father, break up the fallow ground in our minds and our hearts. Help us, oh God, to understand that which is true and to reject that which is wicked, oh God.
Yes.
Thank you for your word today, God.
Thank you.
We ask you to bless it today as it goes forth, and we give you the praise and the glory, and we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power right now.
Mm-hmm.
In his name we pray. Give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So something that we see, and we can see it today, even when we turn on the TV set, some of what's going on in the world. Israel, you notice, as we mentioned, is right in the midst of lots of trouble all the time. And yet the amount of space Israel takes up, I'm going to use this as a metaphor. Let's say if Israel is that big, America is this big.
Mm-hmm.
So only that much of space, very tiny little country, little small piece of real estate, right in the middle of all that trouble. Isn't that interesting? And all the nations around them are much larger, have much more land mass, much more authorities, a lot of times have a lot more wealth. Some of them have oil and all kinds of things, some of those neighboring nations, and yet Israel is still there. Now, this is one of the greatest testimonies to the fact that what God has promised to the covenant people is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so. I think it might not even be an accident that he made the name of the country Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They are right there. And I'm using that kind of as a play on words. But they're right there. And they're not going anywhere. God has promised that he will protect them even in their unbelief. So this is a testimony to you and me. They don't trust Christ as their Savior. We're going to see that as soon as we turn the corner here and go into Romans chapter 10. In fact, the first verses in Romans 10 says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Yes.
So Paul is fully aware that as a nation, they have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Mm-hmm.
See, just like he was doing, and we discussed that in the midweek service in pretty much detail. The nation in general turned their back on the Messiah when he came. Now, this was not a surprise, and so this is the reason why Paul takes all this time in Romans 9, 10, and 11 to explain how can it be that the people who he sanctified and that he called don't accept his Son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he understands it full well because God allowed him to go along in unbelief for a good portion of his life, and then on the Damascus Road, which you read about in Acts 9, turn him around 180 degrees, caused him to see the scriptures are speaking about the coming Messiah, and that he has come exactly as the scripture said.
Yes.
The law and the prophets said he would be born in Bethlehem and of Judea in the days of Herod the king. All these things about him are true.
Yeah.
That he came, he would be threatened by kings, and all everything that was written is there.
Yeah.
And yet they reject the truth, the word of God.
Uh-huh.
And so Saul, he had been called, who is the writer of this letter, who is now called Paul.
Yeah.
His name has been changed. He understands what it means to be a hater of the church. It was in his spirit to hate the church.
Right.
He was so zealous, I don't only not hate the church, I'm going to get papers from the government, from the high priest, and we're going to go down and wipe it out.
Amen.
He had a zeal for against the church, but not according to knowledge, as he goes on to say about the Jews in chapter 10. So the church needs to understand, and it's a question that's worth asking, why wouldn't the people who he called, why would they reject him?
Right.
Why would they turn their back on him?
Yeah.
Why don't they believe he's the Messiah? Why didn't they respond to him when he came? Why did they crucify him and hang him on a tree and bury him in the tomb thinking they could get rid of him?
Yeah.
And the answer is God said that they would do it.
Yeah.
God predicted it for generations before he came.
Right.
God told everything that would happen and they fulfilled it blow by blow and didn't even realize what they were doing. That what you're doing is fulfilling exactly what the prophet said.
Amen. Amen.
And they were blind. That's what we call spiritual blindness.
Mm-hmm.
You and I live in a culture and a time now that the gospel is being going out to the Gentiles in the world. That's all other people except the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a spiritual blindness in the world. You and I have to deal with it. Folks are blind. They don't know Jesus is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it, and they act out what's in their hearts and in their flesh, and they reject Christ. So we have the same thing right now. But Paul had to answer the question, why come the covenant people rejected him?
Yeah.
Is this a surprise to God?
Come on.
And the answer is no, it was not a surprise to God.
Wow.
It had been predicted, written in the Word for generations, and because they have chosen to harden themselves against God, as a good example of that was what we talked about with the Pharaoh. They had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn around and accept the Lord, but they decided to harden their heart.
Yeah.
And so God started to harden them. So you're going to see that what happened to them as a nation, part of it is judicial from God. In other words, God has said, you reject me, fine, I harden you in your sin.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you reject God, as he continues to come and knock on the door of your heart, saying, let me in.
That's right.
Let me in. And you say no. And you keep saying no. And you keep refusing to let him in.
Uh-huh.
That's why Jesus, even in Revelation, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Mm-hmm.
If any man opens unto me, I will come in. Any man. Notice that doesn't have to be a Jew,
right,
particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Jews were favored, God had selected them. He poured out his favor, his mercy, his grace. He's poured out his knowledge, his gifts, all kinds of things through the Jews. That's what Paul said earlier in the chapter. He said that the Jews, being the covenant people, are the ones to whom belong the covenants. The glory of God was with them. They had things like the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, that no one else, no other nation had been entrusted with in all of time. God sanctified them, kept them, even though they were small in number, and blessed them, giving them lands that didn't even belong to them.
Amen.
He went in and dispossessed Gentiles before them, and they were much smaller, always have been smaller.
Yeah.
They've never been the largest nation at any time.
That's right. That's right.
But see, God did that intentionally because he wanted them to know it's not your strength, it's not your power, it's my strength.
Amen.
It's my power.
Yeah.
I give you what I want you to have. I open doors for you that cannot be shut. I shut doors that cannot be opened.
Yeah.
I make a highway for you in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a highway right through the Red Sea to bring you through. If I tell you go that way, trust me by faith.
Yeah.
And you're going to get exactly where I told you you're going.
Hallelujah.
You know, they stood there even at the Red Sea
mm-hmm.
and complained against Moses. Now look what you done now.
Yeah.
They brought us up here now. We got water over here. The enemy is over there. What in the world are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And Moses told them, stand still
Amen.
And see the salvation
Amen.
Of your God.
Amen.
And then God said, stretch forth your rod. And he stretched it forth. That same rod that he had used to show that he was the man of God to the Pharaoh.
Amen.
He threw it down and became a serpent.
Yes.
He told him, pick it up by the tail on the backside of the desert over there. Now he went before the Pharaoh, did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know. And so God told him, take what you got, Moses. Stretch forth your rod.
Yes.
And they were thinking, boy, now what is he doing now? You know, what are you doing? And he stood there and held up that rod. And then they watched the Red Sea separate and divide.
Yeah.
And then they watched the ground dry up and it was dust in the floor bed of the sea.
Yeah.
And they saw a wall of water on the left and on the right.
Yeah.
And God's pillar got in between them and the enemy, shut them down where they couldn't pursue them.
Uh-huh.
They had changed their mind. We're coming to get you. Why should we let you go? Let's just kill them. Mm-hmm. They had an evil thought in mind. But God opened up the Red Sea and made it where they could only sit there and watch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? If enemies are after you, God can stop them in their tracks.
Amen. Amen.
He can stop them in their tracks. He does not have to let them overtake you.
That's it.
He has authority and power over everything you're going through.
Yeah.
And then all they can do is watch them go through on dry land. See dust coming up behind them. Running through the Red Sea. And then they had the nerve after God moved the cloud out of the way to think, well, let's go get them. Still, you know, went down in there like a fool and zap. God said, okay, that's what you get.
Amen.
You harden, now you get judged. You see? And so we see the power of God, and so Paul wants them to know that what you're seeing here, the Messiah, he is real.
Mm-hmm.
He has come. He has been in the world. He has proven his righteousness. He has taken the penalty for sin upon himself. He has died and been crucified according to the law and the prophets. He got out of the grave with all power in his hands, and he declared that this gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world for a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end shall come. So the enigma, though, in the average mind would be, well, why would he harden his own people?
Right.
And so that's why he pointed out, as we back up just a touch to get a little information here, we back up to the prophecy of Hosea in 25, verse 25. You may have to turn to your Bible if it's not on your printed text. It says, and he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which are not my people.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And her beloved, which was not beloved. In other words, I had a relationship with Israel. You were my people.
Mm-hmm.
I loved you. I was your husband. I took you to be mine. We were one.
Mm-hmm.
Married to you. I was married to you, and you rejected me. Kind of like Hosea with Gomer over there when you read the book of Hosea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He said, but I'm going to call a people who are not my people. That's the Gentiles. The folks who did not know me, that did not have a special relationship mm-hmm. with me. And I'm going to call her beloved, who was not beloved before. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically God is, but originally God's promise was to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
When he called Abraham, there were no Jews.
Amen.
Abraham was called out of the Gentiles.
Right.
He told him, get thee out of thy country mm-hmm. and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred, come into a land and I'll show you, I'll bless you, mm-hmm. make your name great.
Right.
And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him that blesseth you, curse him who curseth you, and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He promised to bless all the Gentiles to start with.
Yeah.
And the way he chose to do it was through the Jews, through 42 generations
right.
from the time of Abraham until the time of Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the seed of Abraham. He came right on schedule, exactly when God had promised that he would come. He lived a spotless life.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 3.5 year ministry in which he proved everything that God had promised that he would do. He fulfilled the law during that time.
Yes.
See, the law couldn't be fulfilled by anyone but Jesus.
Amen.
No man could ever fulfill God's law. Why? Because we're too sinful.
Amen.
All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And had been proven for over 42 generations from Abraham that no one could ever satisfy God entirely on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was necessary, therefore, for Jesus to come to fulfill the law. The law had to be fulfilled. It hasn't been abolished. It was fulfilled.
Yes, yes.
Big difference between abolished. Abolished means to be done away, you see. But to fulfill, Jesus fulfilled it.
Yes.
He met every requirement of it without a flaw.
Yes.
And he didn't do it for himself because he didn't have a flaw to start with.
My God,
right.
My God.
So what did he do it for? He did it to show God's love for you and me.
Yes.
That I love you and I will fulfill the law for you. And then I will be the sacrifice for you that's necessary for you to be clean. And the Bible says in John 15:16 that you did not choose me, I chose you. Jesus said, I'm choosing you. But he also said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And so he came to be wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace. By his stripes you're healed. And that's what Isaiah said, chapter 53. You see, and all of that happened, but yet he had to defeat the grave and death.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that as well. And so the question is, how can the covenant people reject the Messiah? And so Paul has been dealing with it. He started in chapter 3, as you know, then he kind of went down a couple of rabbit trails, as we see it, coming on through 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And he gets back to it in chapter 9, goes back to the original thing that's still in the reader's mind. How could the covenant people reject the Messiah. And so in chapter 9, verse 27, he brings Isaiah to the stand on this topic. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Only a small piece out of them shall be saved. And he says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now we explained on Wednesday that the time that Jesus came to set up perfect righteousness for the whole world was very brief. It was in a 3.5 year period compared to all of the time that has gone past before the cross. And even from the cross till now, it's been 2,000 years. You see that? So God's work was done in a very short period.
Yeah.
He came in, finished it, and it's done. It's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
For all who believe. The caveat is, do you believe? Do you trust Jesus Christ entirely? Do you understand that he alone makes you right with God?
Right.
No one else. Is not by works of righteousness that we have done, Titus 3:5 says, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. See? So the Holy Spirit dwells in the ones who trust in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he is there to continue the good work. As Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, who was the antagonist against the church, says, for I am confident. Now he's confident of this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 1, 6, that he which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. See that? So now Paul knows how God saves. He doesn't just save you and leave it up to you to get right.
Amen.
He saves you and then he fills you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you and guide you to all truth. He is in you to illuminate the Word of God so that you can see the Word and know for sure. You have a certainty when you're saved. Now, somebody in here can bear witness to this. When you hear the Word and you understand what it means, you are certain that God has done exactly what he said.
Yes, yes, yes.
You have confidence.
Yes.
Doesn't make any difference what people say about it.
Right.
I'm sure of what God said. And you can't make me move. That's it. When God says it and the Holy Spirit confirms it, I'm locked in. Be like Star Trek, my phasers are set on stun. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But in either case, you're locked in. You're not going to be moved. You are not going to allow anybody to move you from the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And you get that confidence and that assurance from the Word of God and the Spirit of God who is in you.
Yes.
And so now Saul, who is now called Paul, of course, I keep going back and forth because I'm going between his old life and his new. He says, look at Isaiah. What did Isaiah say? And he brings him to the stand to bear witness to the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says that it's going to be a short work. The Lord is going to take care of it in a short time. That's what he promised.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did. He came and did it in a 3.5 year earthly ministry to set up perfect righteousness for all who trust in him. That was also prophesied by Daniel in the 70 weeks prophecy. We don't have time to discuss it this morning, but we will talk about that a little later. Because he said that there would be 69 weeks and then Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You see in the prophecy of Daniel, we'll talk about that later. But in either case, we see here that what I want you to get out of this today, and this you can take with you throughout the week to meditate on and also to share, and of course, just to give you the confidence that you need, that because of the fallen state of mankind, if God does not step in and intervene, man would go only from bad to worse. Did you know that? We're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
The fallen world will tell you, oh, man is getting better and better and better. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
We're going right down the drain.
Yeah.
And if God didn't spare us, that's what it says here. It says, backing up to 29, it says, and Isaiah said, before except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, that we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, yes.
The covenant people would go to the full extent, and we know what Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, I'm wondering now, is America heading for Sodom and Gomorrah?
Come on.
We got same-sex marriage being taught everywhere, and they're saying we're going to ram it down the church's throat and make them do it. No, you're not. Not in here. You're not going to do it in here. You might do it somewhere. If you do it in here, you're going to lock me up first and take me out of here. You're not going to do it in here. Because God said you're not going to do it. And you don't have any authority to do it. Not in here.
Right.
You know. And if they're going to make you do it, y'all want to see how you're going to do that. You ain't going to do it. I'm going to be preaching against you all the way to the prison.
Amen.
And I'll continue to preach when I get there.
Amen.
And in there anyway, already. Without being locked up. I go in there and preach. So I'll just preach some more.
Okay.
And we might have to have church from the prison. Have y'all come down and I'll preach from the cell. Amen. But we're going to hold up what God says. It doesn't make any difference what people say. They do not have authority over God.
My God.
And God can shut them down in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm counting on. I'm counting on God to stand up for what he says is right. You and I have to take a stand. So he says here that if God hadn't done it, now you know what? The only reason we have that attitude and that orientation toward what is right is God has turned your heart around.
Mm-hmm.
There might be somebody right here right now who had a struggle with some of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And God is able to fix you, turn you around, and get you to see what's right.
That's right.
You would think from something so basic as two sexes, male and female, that would be cut and dry.
Right.
You know what? When you go to the store, you see cards that says it's a boy or it's a girl. Where are the it's an abomination cards? I haven't seen them. Maybe there's a market there for somebody. People ought to know what they are. God made it very simple. A and B. Okay? And I'm not belaboring that or beating up on them, but think about all the other things that are being legalized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we don't like being with our wives, so we're just going to legalize prostitution. Well, is that right?
My God.
Just because it's legal, does that help you with your conscience if you're sleeping around?
Come on.
I hope not.
Shit.
You know, well, let's just legalize marijuana. Everybody's going to smoke it anyway. Well, no. You know, they legalize alcohol, and it's a terrible travesty in one sense. I mean, because people who have a problem with it go too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so a lot of things like that you see, and you're going to see that on the rise. People trying to legalize stuff in order to keep it where their conscience is not eating them alive, instead of repenting and letting God fix them. So it would happen to any of us, and so we need to understand the only reason we stand where we do is that God has shown us mercy. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained righteousness? Even the righteousness of faith? That's a question. How did the Gentiles, who weren't even following God, how did they attain righteousness all of a sudden? That's the question. But Israel, on the other hand, he's comparing the covenant people with the Gentiles, which followed not. He says, which followed after the law of righteousness have not attained the law of righteousness. That seems exact opposite of what you would expect. How can the people who've been walking in the law not receive righteousness, and the ones who haven't, never walked in the law, didn't even know it existed, now they're declared righteous? And he said he was explaining that here. It's a good question, though. Very good question. He says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumble at the stumbling stone. Now this term, the stumbling stone, brings us to the question that I ask: Jesus, rock or stumbling block? What is he to you? Is he your rock? When we say the Lord is my rock, what does that mean? That means he is my foundation. That I am on him. I'm planted up on the rock. You know, I'm firm in him. He will not be moved. I trust him alone. I'm building on him. He is my cornerstone. He's the center of my life. You know, I'm locked in on him. He is my rock. Somebody wrote a song, he is my rock, my sword, and my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of a wheel. You know, so we trust him like that because he is the one that God had sent to establish righteousness, to fulfill the law for whoever trusts in him. The problem with the Jews is they think we can do the law well enough for God to accept us. And that's the same thing Adam and Eve tried when they covered themselves with fig leaves in the Garden of Eden. We don't need God to cover us. We'll just get these fig leaves and make ourselves aprons. And God said no. So that's when the sacrificial system was established. It was in the garden. God slew an animal. It says Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made coats of skins and covered them, showing them that the wages for sin is death. It requires death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. You can't cover yourself with the works of your own hands. And so it was the same story from the beginning. It's in their law, but they won't receive it. And the problem is spiritual blindness, because they harden themselves to the things of God. And so therefore, they didn't receive it by faith. We have to accept that God was showing them the cross in every sacrificial act that was done from the beginning in the Garden of Eden all the way up until the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus gave up the ghost. Now he ripped open that veil. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. And opened up the way to the most holy place. showing you that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need, not because we did anything, but because Christ fulfilled the law. He did it for you. He didn't need to do it for himself.
Amen.
He was perfectly spotless.
Mm-hmm.
And God rejected him and forsook him on the cross in order to be able to accept a wretch like me into his kingdom. So if we ignore the cross, Galatians 2:21, it says that Paul says, if you can get saved by keeping the law, then what was that grisly crucifixion for? That's my paraphrase.
Right.
Why do we need a cross? Why did the Son of God, who was without fault and without a flaw, have to be nailed to a cross and shed his blood for the remission of the sins of the world? If you can get there without that, that would be pretty silly, wouldn't it? To let the Son of God suffer that kind of ignominious death on a tree. So what it does is you trample under feet the blood of Jesus Christ when you think you can get there without him.
That's right.
And the fact is, no one can get there without him. But on the flip side, everyone who trusts in him shall be saved.
Yes, yes.
So to you, he is either your rock or he is a stumbling block.
Yes.
To the Jews, he was a stumbling block.
Because
they go, well, you know, how can these people who never knew God now be saved? They don't know the law of Moses. Well, they don't have to because Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses.
Yes,
and now they can go back and learn the law of Moses, and chances are they'll be able to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Once you get saved, now you can do the right thing. You're not saved from sin so you can stay in it. That's not the reason you're saved.
Come on.
It's just the opposite. You're saved because now once you get saved and the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you can do the right thing.
Amen.
He empowers you to walk holy.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you the Spirit to convict you of sin and to bring you to confession so that you, when you come to the Lord's Supper, you can confess your sins. He can cleanse you,
mm-hmm.
wipe away that sin. He's merciful with you because he accepts you just like you are. You see? And so he wants you to come, and the life of the church basically is the life of understanding who God is, what God has done, and that he loves you exactly like you are. He will accept you because of Christ, give you a clean slate so that your conscience is not guilty.
Yeah.
You're not walking around in guilt because you know God covered your sin. And now he's going to teach you how to actually walk and be holy.
That's glory.
Amen. So that's what we're doing, is learning holiness,
mm-hmm.
and we're learning it covered by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so God is going to continue to move us forward. So even though God's law has always been perfect, man is in a fallen state, was never able to maintain it. Therefore, only Jesus Christ, who was able to be, the perfect mediator that's acceptable to God,
mm-hmm.
because he fulfilled it entirely by himself. And not only that, but he did it not only for God, but he did it for you. And that's what you have to understand. God has placed the open door before all of us,
mm-hmm.
for all of time, when he by grace alone can accept whosoever will come to him by the blood of Jesus Christ, who alone satisfies God. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come, you can know God is satisfied with you. Why? Because you trust Christ. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so when you come, God says, I will accept you because of him.
Yes.
And I love you that much that I gave you him.
Mm-hmm.
He died for you.
Right.
He defeated death for you. He defeated the grave for you. He got up out of the grave with all power in his hands so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, so that's what this last verse is about. He says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block,
mm-hmm.
a rock of offense, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So is Jesus your rock,
yes.
or is he your stumbling block? I'd like to ask everyone to stand at this time. And we'd like to invite you to come, no matter who you are. If you are saved and you'd like to be a part of St. Timothy, we'd like you to come. If you're not saved, we would like you to come. No matter what your situation is, you can come as a candidate for baptism or with Christian experience, or you can come just to be saved. If you'd like today, we'd like to give you that privilege. Right now, we open up the doors of the church. So that whoever you are, we're accepting a member by letter, candidate for baptism, or Christian experience. You may come at this time.
Come to Jesus, just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. to Jesus just now. He is calling. He is calling. He is calling just now. Just now. He is calling. He is calling just now. Come.
Amen. Do not be ashamed of the Lord, and realize that we welcome you to come, whoever you are. If you're coming just to help support the work of the church, if you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy, we'd like you to come any reason at all, and especially if you're not saved. If you're not saved, we certainly would love you to come.
Glory.
Amen. Because there's no reason why you should leave here without the blessing of the Lord on your life.
Amen.
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 No reason at all. One thing's for sure, if you do, God will hold you responsible, because we have told you exactly what He requires.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll never be able to tell Him you didn't know what He requires.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I have to do that, because He told Ezekiel, if I tell you to go and tell people the news and you don't do it, then I'm going to hold you responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you tell them, your blood shall not be required, their blood shall not be required at your hand.
Amen.
So we'd like to discharge our responsibility. We thank you. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So we thank the good Lord for each of you. So if anyone wants to come for any reason, amen, you can come at this time, whether you're, like we said, we want to make sure you know that it's for not only just for salvation. Some people are saved and filled with the Spirit, and you are on a mission for the Lord, and maybe the Spirit is prompting you to come and work with us. If so, we'd like to have you come. Whoever you are, for any reason, amen. Amen. We like to be clear on those things, because we never know. There's so many things, like, for example, that were you all stunned as I was about the Malaysia Airlines plane, the second Boeing 777, 298 souls wiped out at one time by a surface-to-air missile. And I was looking at an interview on CNN of a lady who missed her plane.
Yeah.
You know how mad you are when you miss your plane?
Yeah.
And this time she was going, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame her. I mean, you know, just imagine that. You're the only one missed your plane. It would have been 300 on the plane.
Yeah.
But her and her daughter missed the plane.
Yeah.
And so she said, there must be something else that He has for me to do.
Right.
You know? Think about that. That's something, you know.
Yeah.
I think about that. There's so many cataclysmic things that happen, like 9/11 and stuff like that, where people are just wiped out in an instant, and you don't know, and you don't hope for anything of that sort. In fact, you pray against it, but those kind of things happen in the world, so you want to make sure you know you're right with the Lord, because sometimes you don't get a chance. Some people think, hey, I'll wait till I get ready to take my last, but you don't know if you'll have that
Amen.
Opportunity.
Amen.
That's a presumption that you might be sorry about.
Yes.
You know, you need to speak while the blood is running warm in your veins, and while you're cold and in your right mind.
Because
you don't have to be in your right mind necessarily in another 10 minutes. Not necessarily so. Amen. But we thank the good Lord, and we hope that Jesus is your rock.
Amen.
And that He is not a stumbling block to you. Amen. In any way. Because He did what He did for you.
Amen.
And it was to show God's great love. Nobody will ever tell God, you didn't love me.
Amen.
I hear people say it now. I go, well, you obviously are not aware.
Yes.
And I like to let them know God does love you.
Yes.
And this is how I know. Amen. Having done that, are there any other, any other visitors who are here? We'd like to give you a minute to say anything if you like, or just stand up and say hello, or just stand so we can acknowledge you. You don't have to say anything. We don't put you on Front Street, but we just like to acknowledge that you're here, because we thank the Lord every time you come. Amen. Amen. Go right ahead.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It was a great sermon. I appreciate you having us, inviting us in, and everything. You know, I just pray the best for you guys in the church, and the ministry going forth and everything else, and God just pour all blessings on this house here.
Amen. We receive that. We receive that. Amen. Brother Reverend Hamilton's grandson?
Amen.
All right now.
Amen.
we certainly welcome you. And we're here all the time. Anytime we're here, you are certainly welcome. Amen. All of you Hamiltons, we know
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Love all y'all. Amen. We know God is working something
yes,
beautiful
yes.
in your lives. Amen. And I know your dad would be just overwhelmed.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Having said, any other ones here that would like to have any words before we dismiss? Okay. Brother Jamerson, go ahead.
You said you weren't going to do it, but you can sing that song.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. I might let him sing it. You can go in there.
Huh?
All right. Well, amen. Okay. Amen. Well, we give the Lord praise. I don't know if we want to do what singing to Brother Brown. We want to give it a shot.
Put me on the spot.
Let's see. Who do we have that really does know the song? Do one of the Hamiltons know the song?
What song?
I've had some good days.
Yeah.
Somebody can sing. I'll get somebody over here who can really sing.
I need the word.
Okay, let's do the road.
He's asking for stuff I did something back. I haven't done that for a while, but in either case, we can.
Yeah.
We'll get Sister Weaver to sing that one.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know it either. Okay. Well, I got the word somewhere, but all right. If all minds are clear, you have something else to say, Brother Ray? Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe he can sing it then next time.
Okay.
We know y'all can sing now. Okay, in either case, if all minds are clear, let us stand and receive the benediction. I'm going to ask Brother Brown to pray us out here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I just want to say we are on the move.
Amen.
And I do know that we are a family church.
Yes.
And there are a lot of things that's going to come as a result. I know that God is going to heal a lot of hurts, a lot of pains, a lot of suffering, a lot of turmoil. And I just want to say to the Hamilton family that I believe that it won't be complete until you engraft it in. And I want to say that because you are family.
Amen.
And your father left it to you a long time ago.
Amen.
And that your gift and your talent and everything, your abilities, will be a blessing to this church and to all that is here. So I'm going to spend that and let you know that, of course, this is your home, you know, but I'm just telling you that it won't be complete until you complete the task of making yourself a part. And, you know, so we're praying for you guys that you would come forward, that you would come. And I was delighted to meet you guys last, I think that was, what, a week ago or last Sunday? And couldn't stop talking about you guys, couldn't stop praying for you guys.
Amen.
And I just want you to know that we are praying.
Amen.
And we are waiting.
Amen.
And you can come anytime.
Amen.
Anytime. You know, I keep seeing the older sister look back. And maybe you need to stop looking and leading.
No, I really believe God has
okay.
me where I belong.
Sure enough.
I just married.
Oh, that's all right.
And I'm with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the church.
All right. That's all right. That's all right.
I'm just being obedient to him.
That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to pray for him too as well. Now we know what the struggle is. We know what the struggle is. Now we know where to pray. Yeah, so you know, one thing I can say is that, you know, being a church, dealing with problems, dealing with issues, dealing with children, all of the marriages, you know, all of the ins and outs, if you're in relationships that you should not be in, we're going to have counseling sessions for those things. Because we're going to be on a move for Christ, moving toward holiness, moving toward oneness with the Lord. And you know, there aren't a lot of churches that are out there doing that. You know, they allow the world to come in and just sit and fester the church, and then next thing you know, the word is pushed out. We want to be the ones who bring people in, get them help, and then push back the world. You know, and so that's what I stand here, and I just want to let you know and put it in your hearing, because I wouldn't be a part of a ministry that is not willing to obey the word of God and push back sin. I used to be out there, you know, before I got married over 20 years ago, my life, you know, God was dealing with me. Pastor Landers, me and him were praying partners. He was teaching and ministering. We came through here. And you know what? God worked all of those details out. And I believe that we are put here for a reason. To help you guys to work out details. Those things that you're troubled with. Those things that you're going through. Those things that you need help with. And you know what? Men going to be men. Like he said, we're going to have some women ministries. We're going to have some men ministries. Men are going to really get down to the hardcore. Or the pornography, all of the issues, the deep issues of life. And we're going to weep and cry as men. And then after that, see God change our hearts.
Well,
so, you know, we're passionate about serving God and serving his people. We want his people to know what it means. When God says, separate, come out from among them, separate yourselves. We want you to know what that means, what he was talking about. The doctrine of separation, how we ought to be separate from the world.
Yeah.
And you know, but we're unique in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I just wanted to say that to you guys and put it in your hearing, because
thanks.
Those are the things that are going to come. You know, no longer do we want to see a church, you know, that's bringing people in and not teaching them the right principles, the right guidelines, and the right holiness, you know, to reach, you know, the community and serve the Lord. I mean, there's another preaching going on, but I'll leave that alone for another time. But you know, let's go on to our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless, the only wise God, our Lord and our Savior, to him be dominion and power forever and ever, in Christ's name. Amen.
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 It's much to be said.
Amen.